Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us for Dr. Ray Talks It Over, the program designed for parents and families, where the aim is to help you stand strong as a parent for your kids' sake. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Dr. Ray Guarendi, father of 10, psychologist and author. Dr. Ray, here we are again. Good to be with you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Today we're going to talk about the issue of homeschooling, and this is similar to our topic last time, the adoption issue. This raises a lot of issues in people's minds, some controversy, but perhaps more than that, just doubt on the part of parents. Can I do it? Should I do it? Do I have the abilities to do it and so forth? How is it going to impact our kids? So these are the things we're going to talk about on today's program of Dr. Ray Talks It Over. Basically, let's start with this. What would move parents to homeschool? I know you homeschool your children.
I watch my wife. She's very good at it. I tell her I'm the administrator. If there's anything you need, if you need me to empty the waste baskets, honey, or kind of paint the building, I will. Actually, she would laugh. She'd say, Ray, you help more than you think. But she's the primary homeschooler. And I've noticed this about moms who homeschool. If I ever am on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, my three lifelines are going to be homeschooling mothers.
They
know everything about everything there is to know because they teach it. The number one reason, Jerry, surveys have shown the number one reason that parents homeschool is moral. They believe that they have a much better chance of imparting their beliefs and their values to their children on their own pace, that they will not have to contend with forces beyond their control or things that they don't want to struggle with at some level that early in their child's lives. That's the number one reason. There are other reasons. Academic is another one. It's not the main one, but it is a big one. A lot of folks feel that academically they can give their kids a much more rigorous schedule and teach them more classically oriented courses. They feel they're not necessarily bound by what the education system decides is good for their child's character development.
A lot of people might say, well, you should probably send them to Catholic school or the public schools are just fine. And yet still some people opt for homeschooling in spite of all that. Any issues there that you might have faced personally in your family or that you hear other people talk about?
My children went to Catholic schools. The first 3 years, my two oldest children were in a parochial school, and we liked the school. The people were wonderful, and I had this nostalgic view of, honey, I want to experience the school life. I want to go to the plays. I want to sit and watch the band concerts. I want to go on parent volunteer, meet the grandparent, cousin, teachers, once removed, brother-in-law's sister day. But I found out that my memories of schooling were a little nostalgic in the sense that I didn't like what my children were being exposed to, mostly at the hands of the other children. There was an innocence being stripped very quickly for me. And I don't want to say the events that happened because they were ugly. And they were happening kindergarten and first grade. My children coming home with issues and questions and things they had experienced and been told from other children who were far more worldly than them. And I saw that start to impact them a little bit. Now, I'm not saying they wouldn't survive it or that they would be indelibly damaged. No, I'm not saying that. But me as a parent, that started to move me. My wife always wanted to homeschool. I was the one who resisted it initially, and I hear this story from many moms. They will say it was their passion to homeschool. Their husbands, for whatever the reason, weren't supportive. But as is often the case, we men come around to our wives' wisdom, and I came around. My wife, this is an interesting little side story. At about that time, my wife was beginning her conversion to Catholicism. She was a very staunch evangelical. And she struggled with the Catholic's devotion to Mary. As one prominent convert says, he had three obstacles to coming to the Catholic faith, Mary. And she said her prayer was, Mary, you're a mother. You would know how I feel. And she said this was one of her first prayers to Mary, and she said it kind of felt foreign. But change Ray's heart. And almost miraculously, she said, Ray, you just came home one day and said, if you want to homeschool, that's what you can do, honey. And she said to me, did you listen to that cassette tape on homeschooling I gave you? I said, no, I didn't. She said, what made you decide that? I said, oh, I don't know. I guess I just decided. And she thanked our blessed mother. Parents of children who are in parochial schools will oftentimes homeschool. It is the fastest growing school movement in the country. It increases approximately 10 to 15% per year. Various estimates of numbers of children homeschooled range between 1.2 million and 2 million. The majority of those are probably what you would consider evangelical Christians. They were at the vanguard of the movement. The Catholic homeschoolers have not really been attracted to it because they always had a school system that they felt they could trust. Tragically, some parochial schools are a bit more secular than some Catholic parents are really comfortable with. And they are in veneer Christian. They are much more according to the culture than according to their Catholic identity. Now, that may be shifting. I don't know enough to say. But that is probably the prime mover for Catholic parents who choose to homeschool. They will look at the parochial school system and say, my parochial options do not foster a serious enough Catholic identity in my children. So that's probably a main movement for them.
How has it been different for you and your wife than you might have expected it to be?
In all honesty, and we've been homeschooling, I believe, 5 years. In all honesty, it has been much, much better. The biggest thing I've noticed as a father, and this probably has to do with my schedule, I'm self-employed, so I work odd hours. And oftentimes I work in the evenings because I will either see clients or I will do a speaking engagement. If my children were in school all day and I left for work mid-afternoon, it would be hard for me to see my kids,
mm-hmm.
Not to mention the time they'd have to do homework in the evening. As it is now, I see them a lot. We're home during the day. We can go to breakfast. We can go to Mass. Sometimes my wife will take them to noon Mass. Sometimes she will go to the library in the afternoon. The biggest thing for me from a schedule perspective is the flexibility. Tremendous flexibility. I speak out of town oftentimes, and I will take one or two or even three of my children with me, and we'll stay overnight in a hotel. We could never do that if we were in school. They bring their schoolwork with them. They do their schoolwork. Or, in another scenario, they simply do it the next day. How else has it been better? I'm very, very pleased at the innocence of my children. They are like children younger than their own age in the sense of their innocence, but they are not socially immature. I found them, and I find this of all homeschoolers, they are generally more comfortable with adults than kids their age because they're not immersed in a peer group setting all the time, all day. And so consequently, their world consists of a range of people. And again, this is not to say that public schooling or parochial schooling stunts a child's social growth, certainly by no means. But I'm saying from my own observation of my children, I am very pleased at their moral innocence, and I'm also ecstatic about the issues we do not have to deal with. About a year or so ago, I said to my son, I think he was maybe sixth grade at the time, Andrew, tell me a bad word. Tell me a dirty word. He looked at me. Stupid? Yes, the average middle school child hears a certain word as an adjective and an adverb and a verb and a modifier and a preposition every other word, sad to say, in the middle school level.
Yeah.
But he was so innocent.
That's
what he came up with. Stupid. That stupid was a bad word.
How many parents would give anything to have that be the word that their child comes up with, honestly, in his own mind?
But you got other parents who would say, well, that's not good. That's not good. He's too innocent. You know, when he first hears the nasty word, he's going to be all messed up. My question for them is, who is more likely to be unable to deal with nasty language, a 14-year-old who hears it for the first time or a 7-year-old who hears it for the first time? Who is less likely to be able to incorporate it and see it for what it is? Of course, the question makes no sense. Other benefits for me. Our evenings are our own. When I'm home in the evening, there is not the homework rush. The children are done with their school day. They've been done by mid-afternoon. So we can do what we wish. And if we would have to stay out a little later, we don't have to rush back home because they have to get up at 6:15. You know, they can sleep till 8, 8:30 when their mom gets them up and starts on school. Huge factor. It's enabled us to actually have a lot more time with our children. And my wife says she believes that for her, it's probably the most important variable in developing a relationship with her children, that she actually is with them.
Do homeschooling parents have to be certified, or does it help?
States vary. Some of them are very, very loose in their structure. They basically say, hey, look, just notify your local school district that you have chosen to homeschool. About a year or two ago, there was snuck into, I believe it was an educational provision, the amendment, and this originated, I think, from a California representative, the amendment that homeschooling parents would have to be certified teachers. And Focus on the Family got wind of this and simply shut down the switchboards in the sponsoring representative's office as well as in many other places in Washington, D.C. They swarmed because their children were at stake in their minds. For the most part, I know of no state that says you have to be a certified teacher. There may be, but I don't know of any. That would be a pretty stringent requirement. It's not all that difficult legally to homeschool. Where I'm from in the state of Ohio, my wife has to send a notice, and she also has to do one of two things. The children need achievement tests, and if they fall below a certain level, their curricula has to be signed by a certified teacher. That's pretty much the extent of it.
What about the question of academic achievement?
Mm-hmm.
Some people might say that homeschooling children don't do as well.
Well, if they would say that, Jerry, they have absolutely no research support whatsoever for that assertion. Homeschooling has been around long enough now that there have been large-scale studies comparing, on standardized achievement tests, homeschoolers' performance compared to the general school population. If you've done any shows on this, on Catholic Answers, you would know, and you probably have, that homeschooling children, on average, perform at about the 85th to 87th percentile. Not percentage, percentile. That means statistically that approximately 85% of children fall below them in their score results. The average child in the school setting performs at the 50th percentile. Half of the kids perform better, half perform lower. Now, that's a little misleading. In all fairness, I'm a researcher. In all fairness, we would need to compare the test results of children of the homeschooling parents who were in either parochial or private or public school. Parents who homeschool tend to be a bit of a skewed sample anyway. You figure more stay-at-home moms, more intact families, okay, much larger percentage of intact families, and it's very hard to homeschool if you don't have an intact family. Also, parents who want to homeschool, which indicates a degree of commitment to child-rearing that's probably pretty high. So that's a select group. And in all fairness, you need to compare those kids not with the general population, who is all children from all families, no matter how chaotic, to those kids who are equal. You need to find, for example, intact families with maybe stay-at-home moms, with parents who are of the similar educational level, and see how they do. Now, my sense is that the homeschoolers would perform higher anyway, simply because one of the great advantages of homeschool is you can go at your own pace. If a child is bright, then there's nothing to stop the child from covering a year and a half, 2 years in 1 year. He doesn't have to go with the group in a classroom setting. He can move as fast as he wishes.
I imagine that would create a lot of unique opportunities for kids. I mean, if they're – some would be frustrated, in other words. You know, if they had to stay – some might be a little bit smarter than their peers. If they had to move along at that pace, it might frustrate them. Others, on the other hand, if they have a little bit more difficult time can take a little more time.
Well, my son, who spent 3 years in school, he's made the comment several times. Mom, if I were in school, I wouldn't have to do all this. I mean, I could get my work done real quick. He's one of our brighter children, and he could. He got his work done in a couple of minutes when he was in earlier grades, and then he got to read, and he got to play. Well, his mother, what she does, of course, is when he gets his work done, she gives him more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he quickly sees through this. We have a range of children, Jerry. We have children who do very well in school, all the way down to children who just struggle like crazy. What my wife does is those kids who can work more independently, she gives them independent work. Those kids who need more individual attention, she focuses on them. We have two who probably have learning disabilities, all right? They struggle to keep up, and they are barely at grade level, which in and of itself is a near miracle for kids with learning disabilities to stay at grade level.
Right.
But she spends a lot of individual time with them. One of the things she also does, which a lot of homeschooling moms will do, the older kids sometimes tutor the younger ones for small periods of time, and it's a learning experience. You know the old saying, nothing makes you learn a subject better than teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, we have some of our older children tutoring the younger ones as part of their academic progress.
All right, I'm going to throw one at you here that you probably hear all the time. I'm sure homeschools hear it over and over again. The whole question of socialization.
The S word.
Your reaction.
The S word.
What was coming there. Don't kids need to be around other kids to learn to relate to them and to develop social skills and things?
Sure. Do homeschoolers grow up on another planet? Are they sitting on the moon's surface, not seeing human beings? They have brothers. They have sisters. They have church friends. They have neighbors. They have family. You know, remember how you and I in these past shows have talked about cliches that dominate the child-rearing landscape?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those cliches. If you mention to somebody as a homeschooler that you homeschool, I guarantee you 60, 70, 80% of the time, the first thing out of their mouth is going to be, oh, well, Don't you ever think about, you know, I mean, their socialization? I mean, how are they going to get along with other kids? I mean, don't you know, you got to live in the world. You know, you're going to just kind of be quasi-Amish, or you're just sort of going to kind of shunt them off? Invariably, cliche, at several levels. Jerry, the public education system in the United States, you know how old it is?
100 years?
Yeah, 150 years old. In the history of the world, in the history of cultures, the aberration is not homeschooling. The aberration is public education.
Institutional.
Yes, school. Exactly. and I don't mean aberration. That's a bad word. But I mean the uncommon
well, the traditional thing. Form of schooling, academics.
Yes.
Was
individual homeschooling,
families
small groups. Absolutely. Okay, so the fact that in and of itself public education is naturally superior. No, it's superior at giving large groups of kids maybe an education. Yes, that's true. But in terms of its effectiveness, well, let's see. It hasn't been necessarily the way it's been done throughout the history of the world. And just because we're more technologically advanced doesn't automatically mean we are better. First thing. Second thing, when people say to me, what about their socialization? I ask, what do you mean by socialization? Do you mean establishing morals and character? Because if you do, that's our job as parents. That's not a job of 32 other like-aged peers. That's the first thing. If you mean the ability to get along with children from all various backgrounds and all different beliefs and all different worldviews, yes, they will learn that at our pace. They won't have to deal with the seventh grader who knows every little sex item that a seventh grader should know when they don't.
But and a lot that they shouldn't know.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I meant. Forgive me. Bad choice of words. That they shouldn't know. Secondly, I don't want a group of 24 second graders socializing my second grader. And I don't want my second grader to necessarily have to learn how to get along with things when, in fact, it's over and above their ability to do so emotionally, socially, behaviorally, and psychologically. Now, again, it's not going to hurt them. Kids go through the public schools just fine and the parochial schools. They do great. This is not an argument against that. People hear it that way. This is simply saying this is a parental choice on our part. It's not for everybody, but this is something we chose to do. So socialization in and of itself is a cliche. I heard a very, very, very prominent radio host known for her traditional morals. Somebody asked about homeschooling. Immediately she said, well, I just worry about their ability to learn how to get along with other people. Back when I had my radio show, a mom called into me. She had a biracial adopted daughter. She was homeschooling, and she wanted to send her daughter off to public school because she felt that she needed her daughter to get used to functioning with children of all races, didn't want to be isolated in a homeschooling setting. And she said what she found was that her experience from the children as a group was much rougher on this little girl than the homeschoolers. The homeschoolers tended to view her as just a peer among them, whereas some of the other kids in the broader public setting did give her grief because she was biracial. And she said what she noticed was even though the homeschoolers maybe weren't as worldly, they were more morally mature. And they had a tendency to see her as having more godlike dignity than maybe a lot of the other kids did who weren't being raised that way.
That makes me think of so many times I hear of homeschooling support groups and things. Has that been your experience, that not only are the kids not antisocial and not around other kids, but homeschoolers tend to be attracted to one another and support one another, and thus the kids are together quite a bit?
The homeschooling movement has exploded so rapidly in the last 15 years, that there are people everywhere homeschooling. It is not a fringe thing anymore, that if you homeschooled, you were one of two families in your county kind of thing. You know, in the county where I'm from, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homeschooling families. And there are huge support groups. There are field trips. You could keep your kid going to a field trip every morning and every afternoon if you wanted to through homeschooling groups. You know, that is not an issue. One mother said this. She had a tongue in her cheek, and she said, yes, you're absolutely right. I was concerned about socialization. The schools were over-socializing my children. That was her comment, you know. And, again, it is a cliche. There's research out now. I remember reading it relatively recently where they compared the civic involvement of homeschoolers with the civic involvement of non-homeschooled children. Do you know what they found?
I can probably guess.
You can get. You know where I'm going. This is a no-brainer. Yeah. Yes, the homeschooled children tended to be more civically involved in their communities, in getting out in volunteer organizations and doing things in their community than the general population. And that would make sense. If you're teaching a person, if your goal is to teach this person to live seeking God, then it would make sense that that would manifest itself in the way they interact with other people.
Are homeschooling kids able to get involved in sports and things?
Yes, depending upon the school districts. In my hometown, for example, if any of our children want to play sports, get in the band, get in any of the extracurricular activities in their home district, they are permitted. They can simply do that. And I think that's something that's expanding rather rapidly.
I know that would be a concern for some parents.
Yes. This is an interesting concern. What do you do when the kids hit high school level? How do you teach the technical stuff, the physics, the chemistry, the algebra? Several things. One, the homeschooling support groups are so large that there are people within them who are skilled in these areas, and they will come and teach the children, or they will teach them in groups. Two, computer. Computer's spectacular at teaching this stuff. There's no question about that. Three, you can take your children to various places to get them this education. That's not hard to do. The colleges are now starting to recognize homeschoolers as very well educated. Stanford University accepts homeschoolers at twice the rate that they accept the general population kids. One dean of a local university in my area said the thing we like most about homeschoolers is their work ethic. They have a tremendous work ethic.
Well, the fact that a school like Stanford is actively seeking these students, that in itself is a huge statement.
They accept, and I'm generic here on the stats, they accept, I think, something like 9% of their applications and something like 18 to 20% of their homeschool applications, twice the rate.
Got about a minute or so here, and really I don't think we need too much time for this, but wanted to touch upon it. Are there any downsides to homeschooling?
Oh, yeah. The number one reason that parents don't homeschool who wanted to or who drop out, discipline. They simply don't feel they can get their kids to do the work. That is by far the number one reason. Okay. A number two reason, this is why the homeschooling moms overkill that first year. They feel insecure. They truly believe that they can't instruct their children, and they're so worried. You can always tell a first-year homeschool mom. Her kids are loaded down with 50 pounds of books because this mom is going to make this work, and she's so nervous about what her kids are going to learn that they overkill. There's no question about that. A third thing about homeschooling, and you have to be careful about this, unfortunately, more and more people are doing it for the wrong reason. They're pulling their kids out of the school because they're mad at the school. Or they're just deciding, I don't have to put up with this. Come on, we're going to homeschool. And then they don't do it. And homeschoolers are deathly afraid of people like that because they will give the movement a very black eye.
Dr. Ray, we're out of time. How can people contact you?
The World Wide Wrestling? No, that's not that. www.kidbrat.com. Contact me there, and contact me through you folks at Catholic Answers, because I am, well, am I on your staff? What am I now, Jerry?
Part of the Speakers Bureau.
Speakers Bureau.
All right, look forward to next time. Please join us as we have more on our next episode with Dr. Ray Talks It Over. God bless.